Alternative magic scenes have been emerging in places like New York, Los Angeles, Madrid, Tokyo. Magicians, tired of the same old disappearing acts and white tigers, are taking close-up parlor tricks and sleight of hand to new places with layers of cleverness, technology, and humor. David Kwong is one such young magician. He has carved out a very particular niche by nerding out with word puzzles and the periodic table. He's also got a sideline advising Hollywood filmmakers. Most recently, he was the head magic consultant on the upcoming Jesse Eisenberg, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine caper movie, Now You See Me.
This is a magic trick, Mr. Tressler. You, sir, are the abracadabra, the distraction, while they set up the real trick.
I was a $140 million distraction.
Whatever this grand trick is, it was designed a long time ago. And I believe that what's about to follow is really going to amaze.
For Now You See Me, I wanted to ground the film in real sleight of hand at the beginning so that when things get crazy later, it's a little more believable. And that's why we started the film with some really true sleight of hand. We have hand doubles doing incredible stunts with cards. There's an alt scene happening right now called Cardistry, which is the juggling of cards. And you can see the hands flipping the cards around and shuffling them. And we have guys doing incredible stuff with coins.
Which you thought in a film would look like that guy's really doing that and therefore be awesome and impressive in a movie.
That's right. And we taught the actors themselves how to do some real tricks.
Really?
As
so
well.
Jesse Eisenberg can now do tricks?
Yes, he can do a great snap change. You can see it in the trailer. He changes one card to another right to the camera. Dave Franco, he learned how to throw cards incredibly well. I'm not great at it, but I taught him the basics, and he can throw that thing across the soundstage. It's amazing. Woody Harrelson learned how to hypnotize people. I think he hypnotized Mark Ruffalo one evening.
Who was also in the film, literally hypnotized him?
That's what Mark says, or that's what Woody says.
Yeah, with both of those
They're
fellows.
Both actors. I mean, who knows?
And quasi-hypnotized all the time, in my experience. Yeah. Give me an example of something, as you saw this script, something you knew about magic made its way into the film.
One thing that I created for the film that I'm proud of, and I worked with the writers a long time on this, was introducing a trick earlier in the film. Perhaps it's a simple trick, something you might see at a kid's birthday party, and then we see how that plays out on a larger scale later in the film. I don't want to say too much, but I love that you can trace the very principles of illusion from the kid's trick all the way to the enormous heist, and you can see the parallels
there. Gotcha. So alt magicians, you wear plaid shirts and have thick, nerdy glasses? Or what distinguishes alt magic from the regular thing?
Well, we're certainly not wearing the sparkly suits anymore.
Yeah.
But I think the alternate magic scene is really rooting everything in sleight of hand and a simple return to the theater.
Okay. So, yes, my name is David Kwong. Thank you so much for coming. I am both a magician and a puzzler, a crossword puzzle constructor. Which basically means I've taken the world's two nerdiest hobbies and put them right in one thing. I feel like I'm in good company.
And so when did this become more than a few people experimenting? When was it a movement?
It's really hard to trace it, and I think it's just taking off right now. We had the big stage shows, of course, in Vegas, and then David Blaine and Chris Angel took magic to the streets. And I just think over the last few years, it's been returning to parlor setting.
And yet you, in addition, yet another part of your career is you work with David Copperfield, who seems like the ultimate non-alternative magician.
Well, he is still going strong, and he is really a master of the craft, so I've enjoyed.
But it's like Sufjan Stevens performing with Nickelback or something, isn't it?
But all the principles of illusion are the same. It's just how we present them.
Yeah. How did this start?
Well, my interest in magic started when I was a young boy, and I think most magicians can remember the first time they saw their first birthday party magician. For me, it started with reading books on sleight of hand. I was at a magic shop in Faneuil Hall in Boston, and my friend purchased for me as a birthday gift The Royal Road to Card Magic, and I read it cover to cover, and I still carry it around with me.
So old school sleight of hand is a foundation of your act, but a lot of it involves word games, Scrabble, and crossword puzzles. I want to play some audio from your recent show at Science House in New York City to give listeners an idea of what you do. This is you creating a crossword puzzle on the fly that has lots of other tricks and illusions baked into it.
Rounding out our little experiment tonight, I hope you enjoyed hearing about my journey through magic. But there's another journey that was going on behind the scenes, and there was a playing card selected before, and I have not gone near this envelope. You picked the card for me, sir.
I sure did.
You sure did. And we have one card here, which is the Three of Clubs, and that is why I placed on the diagonal the THREEOFCLUBS. That's the Three of Clubs. Thank you very much.
The light bulb that turned on for me about 3 years ago was that I should fold into my magic show something else that I already was an expert in, and that's puzzles. I've been constructing crossword puzzles for the New York Times and the LA Times and other publications for over a decade now, solving them my whole life, playing competitive Scrabble my whole life.
Really?
I decided to start cross-pollinating puzzles into magic.
And assuming A, that nobody else was really doing that, and B, that that would bring you a certain audience of word game-obsessed people?
Well, what I believe is that the audiences are the same and that magic and puzzles are the same. And I think that they're both ways of challenging an audience. It's a mystery that needs to be figured
right.
out.
It's not like glass-blowing and magic. There is a kindred thing.
Yeah. So my entire show operates like one giant puzzle, and all the different magic tricks, all 10 of them, say, over the course of an hour and a half, they add up to one big reveal at the end, and you can see that magic and puzzles are inextricably linked.
Which is why it's so wonderful, because it is like a great mystery novel or something, where all of these various threads and red herrings are finally, at the end, all make sense.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I also believe that magic and puzzles are both threads of the larger fabric of storytelling. And I think that there are characters that you watch that go on journeys. You can take your four kings and have them move throughout the deck, and they go off on their journeys and they return. And a good puzzle is the same way. It's it leads you down a path and then suddenly twists and turns, and there's a surprise ending, and then you feel smart when you finally cracked it.
And as a Scrabble champion and now as a word magician.
Word nerd is fine.
Word nerd? Okay. Yeah. Can you imagine ever saying, enough with the performing magic shows. I'm just going to make movies?
I may emphasize puzzles more than magic at some point. I love the world of puzzles and the people that are in that world. And
More than you do magic people? Are they nicer people?
They're nicer people. It's a little less competitive in the puzzle world.
Yeah.
But as long as I can keep magic and puzzles linked, I'll keep that going for a while.
David Kwong, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
After we talked, David Kwong kind of blew my mind with a magic trick that we filmed. You can see the video of that at studio360.org.